on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is September 1st. We finally got through August with a pretty decent correction. Okay, and it's not over, as you saw today on September 1st. And I told you it's not over. Justin and I have been telling you it wasn't over. It was the first shot across the bow of a correction. We thought it would have a bounce, and it did. And then a retest of the low, which it hasn't retested yet. It went halfway down there today, but that you should be expecting these things. It's not, you know, it's normal. What is not normal is how fast this correction was. And I don't think we're done. We could even go lower. That's very possible. That's in the cards. Don't think, you know, we know. Justin and I don't know. What we do know is the market corrected, and it was about a good size, nice correction, what, 13% from the top to the bottom? And that's a decent correction. Now we're going to retest that low to see if that holds. If that holds, then we have a pretty good shot of a rally toward the end of the year. But not necessarily, if it happens in a very short period of time, that's pretty odd. That's odd. Now, the question on everybody's mind, is it a bear market? Well, I don't know. We'll talk about that today. InvestTalk, as you know, is for everybody and anybody who wants to talk about investing for this 1 hour and understand how best to manage money. We try to help you with it. We do spend a lot of time on investing. But we're open to any money topic. We're welcome to your, welcome all questions, real estate, college savings plans, 401ks, stocks, bonds, ETFs, whatever you want. The market is likely on your mind right now, probably, right? Everybody's pretty focused on it. Anybody who has money in the market is pretty focused on it. And we'll get to the market summary and my comments coming up on what's going on exactly in a minute. But it's times like this with a lot of market movement that people's focus is garnered onto their investments. They are really have their eyeballs on their investments. And I talked to several clients or prospective clients about their portfolios, and they are finding that they're overexposed to the market. Well, you know, when the market goes in one direction, and it seemed like that's all it did since 2009, you know, with very little sideways movement except for this year, everybody is content. See, that's why I keep saying you need to take a look at your portfolio. You need to reevaluate. You need to have proper diversification. You need to be not necessarily just focused on stocks all by themselves, because they do go in two directions, and you're seeing it now. So you really need to take a look at your current portfolio and see if this is the risk that you're comfortable with taking, because you're seeing a big, you know, movement downward, and are you comfortable with it? And if you're saying, I'm not comfortable with this, then you have too much exposure to stocks. Now, does that mean you just get out willy-nilly? No, that's not what that means. It just means you need to reevaluate what you have. And if you need some help, that's what I'm here for. Or any money manager should be willing and wanting to help you for nothing, for free. They should do it because it's smart. It's good business sense. It's smart. It helps people. There's a lot of good reasons to do it. Anyways, we talk about risk. I talk about risk every day. But you may not even know how much risk you're taking. And especially in the current mix of assets you have, you know, it may not match your personal risk tolerance. And that's why you have that free risk tolerance questionnaire on our website to tell you, get you a score, 0 to 100, 80 being the S&P 500. 80 equals the risk score of the S&P 500. So you go take that, and it doesn't talk about stocks or anything. It just talks about how much risk you like, how much comfortable. Would you take this much risk to gain this much percentage and possibly this much loss? Yes, no. And you know, it tries to figure out where you fit. And then it scores you based on that, and you can relate that to to the S&P 500. And then, if you wish, we can go to the next step and we enter your portfolio in the software, Send me your portfolio. And the same software will score your personal portfolio and see if it matches your personal risk tolerance. It's really a nice piece of equipment. It's free. It's free. So if you want to take that little risk questionnaire, go to investtalk.com. You'll see it there. It's free. Okay? I also will be up in the Bay Area. I don't know if anybody wants to meet with me, but you can set up a time. Also, if you want to do it via the phone or Skype, we can do that too. Talk to people over the phone all the time, all across the nation. I manage money in every state of the union. Be happy to help you with that. Even if it's just to help you look at your portfolio, I do that every day. Look at people's portfolios and give them some insights as best I can. Can we help you organize your financial life? Well, we can talk about it. You can start right now. If you have a question, why not ask it? You can get through to me, 888-99-CHART, and call me anytime. Let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. This is John calling from Phoenix. I had a quick question. I have a variable universal life policy. I've invested $44,000 in the last 7 years. It's now at 51, so it's gone up about 7,000 while the market's over doubled in that same amount of time. If not, it gone up more than that, tripled. I was wondering if variable universal life are a good investment or if I should sell it, take my capital gain, 6,000, and reinvest it with you guys in ETFs. I look forward to hearing your response. Thank you.
I'm not a big fan of universal life or whole life. I am a big fan of term life insurance. I'm a fan of life insurance when it is needed. I don't like it when universal life and whole life pretend they are investments, because they're really not. They're life insurance that is in a very complex contract put together by an insurance company who wants to get a hold of your assets. It's as simple as that. That's what they want. And they think they disguise this life insurance as an investment. Well, it's a very expensive investment, and it's been years of underperformance, and I just don't care for them. Now, is there a penalty if you do sell it? What is it? And more importantly, is there any tax consequences, and how much would they be? They don't tell you about those when you sign up for this. So you may have made money, but you haven't paid any taxes on that money. That's possible. So you may end up paying more taxes than you think you owe, you think it's worth. So check that out before you make that decision. And yes, I would not hold on to universal life or a whole life policy. I would sell it. I would buy a term life policy for the term and amount I want for insurance. It's very inexpensive compared to the universal life and whole life because, again, they pretend that that's an investment. And I know I'm going to get emails and phone calls from life insurance agents saying, it is an investment. Okay, it is an investment. Just not that great of an investment. So, yeah, I would do that. That'd be my personal opinion. I'd rather see you just buy an index fund. Don't hire anybody if you don't want to, and you will do better than that life, that policy. You would. It's commonly thought that people with large investment portfolios are smart investors. It's not true. It's just not true. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're smart with that money. A lot of people make money, but make a lot of money, but they don't make it by investments. They make it by whatever business they're in. And then they invest the money because they have to put it somewhere, and they do a poor job of it. That's going to be one of our talking points, our main talking points, a million-dollar portfolio with serious flaws is the name. And also I'm going to talk about good news. Construction is that's one of the strongest sectors in our economy. Construction. We had a report out today. I got some details I think we should talk about. And the reason why I'm talking about as a positive thing, because everything's been kind of negative, hasn't it? I'm going to talk about those article, Wall Street Journal, Dow dropped 6.6% in August. So what about the other markets around the world? What did they do in August? Just got that. September is the coolest month for your stocks. Or is it? September, statistically, is the worst month for stocks. Did you know that? It is. You go back year after year after year after year to September's, not always, but statistically, comparing it with the rest of the market, the rest of the months are the worst month of the year. But when you have a really bad month in August, will September follow through with the worst month for that year? See, this is something we got to talk about. Could be. I'm not dismissing the idea. I'm not. But, you know, you can't just look at it in a vacuum. And is it statistically valid? Is it statistically valid? So what? It's been historical. Well, we'll talk about that. I can get carried away with talking about the talking points that I'm not supposed to talk about till the end of the show. So we're into the show. So my apologies. Today, the market was down. The Dow was down 470 points, the NASDAQ down 141, and the S&P down 58. And if you look at a chart of each one of those indexes, which I do, of course, all day long, it's staring at me as I flip through all the various charts, it's a very interesting phenomenon. The market collapsed, as you know, last week, or fell very sharply, at least I can say that. And starting last week, even though the weakness started a couple months ago, but it really strikingly fell last week. And then it also came back, right? In 2 or 3 days, it got almost half of it back. And now it's giving that half back, half of it back, another quarter back. So now if you look at a chart, it looks like we're about two-thirds down of the initial fall. And the question is it going to retest those lows? And if you've been listening to the show, I said that I know Justin has, will probably likely retest those lows at least go back and retest those lows. And it could just break through those lows because the lows was only a 13% correction. Remember, stock market correction in summer 2011 was 19%, and the market came roaring back. So, and that was in the summer of 2011. So it doesn't mean that just because we moved from the very top, which was back, I think, late May, early, or maybe July, somewhere on there, was the very top and down to the low, very low, not closing low, but the low, about 13%. Can it go lower? Of course. Believe me, no one has a crystal ball. But I'm talking about the probabilities. Are we moving into recession? If we're not, if that's the answer, we're not moving into recession, then this is probably a correction. If we're moving into recession, which no one has a crystal ball to tell you, this is just the beginning of the fall. It'll get worse. So just be aware. I just don't think we're in the beginnings of a recession yet. I'm registered investment advisor and financial advisor Steve Peasley. The market greeted September with a thud this morning, continuing the correction process. We're here to talk about it. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART, we're going to go talk to John in San Jose. How are you doing, John?
Very good, very good.
Thanks for the call.
My pleasure. I bought 5,000 shares long of PSQ today. About 5 cents above the low of today. I'm expecting a substantial bounce. BS2 is the inverse of the Q, so I'm expecting the market to drop 20-25%.
Over what period of time, John, are you expecting that? In the next week? Month?
I see things really bad. I live about a mile from Apple, and I see all this construction, but I own my own tree company, and I know the trades, and Everybody's broke. I mean, everybody's living paycheck to paycheck, cable TV, cell phone, PG&E, everybody's just strapped to the bone. Everybody's broke.
Okay.
I think the economy's in much worse shape than people think.
Well, we own PSQ in our managed account with three other index shorts. We've had them for a while now because we've been expecting this correction. PSQ is the exchange traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the inverse return of the NASDAQ 100, everybody. And John, I'm going to pick this up after the break. I'm sorry, I have to take this break. If you want to hold, that's great. If you don't, that's fine. But I'll talk about this when I pick it up after the break, okay? This is Invest Talk, everybody.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Millennials stand to inherit $30 trillion from parents and grandparents. Is there a downside to that? Why you should sell your grandfather's stocks? That's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast. Bring your questions and join us then.
Johnny, you're still there. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let me make a real quick comment.
Sure.
I I'm just a simple person. I do my own trading through Schwab. Mm-hmm. And I use freestockcharts.com. I'm sure there's some others out there, but I look at XLF is the banks, mm-hmm. and IYT is the transport.
Right.
And I put those on a weekly. I put those on a weekly, and they're pointing way down. Mm-hmm. I do the semis, SMH, and, of course, IWM, the small and mid-cap stocks. And between those four, they're all, on the weekly chart, they're all pointing down. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we've got quite a ways to go.
And that is correct. I also look at IYT and the various indexes. And I have actually chartcharts.com up now, so I know exactly what you're looking at. And, I would say every one of those, every index is pointing down. But the problem I have, John, is that, when you say, by the way, we have shorts in our stock account, and I told you we had them on PSQ, the one we're talking about before the break, shorts the S&P 500. And we use that one as well. We're actually in that one and have been for a little while, as I said. And therefore, we're hedging our bets quite a bit with a lot of cash in the stock accounts and a lot of and some shorts and actually some gold mining positions. And all that is defensive. Okay. Now, when you made the when you made the comment about how businesses around where you are and those things, be very very careful because you will get sucked into maybe the surrounding business that you're in is not very good. Try to broaden and look at the rest of the country and what's happening there.
I'm in Silicon Valley. I'm in the richest part of the United States.
Yes, you are.
I'm with Apple, Yahoo, Netflix, Google. They're all within 5 or 10 miles of my house. Mm-hmm. And if everybody I know, I mean, there's of course the very very rich, but the middle class, everybody is just struggling. Not just the cost of buying new homes, but the average cost of living. I just left Safeway. They wanted 99 cents for one lemon. You know, the cost is inflation's gone crazy.
Okay, so the lemon problem, John. I might be able to help you with that because I got 3 lemon trees in my backyard. I could send you some lemons.
Okay. I own a tree company. I get plenty of lemons.
Okay.
Real quick, could you give me another? My question is on the PSQ. Where should I get out? Because that's an inverse for the Q. So that's a short, but it's an inverse. So not to confuse people, I'm going long in that. But when the market goes down, I make money. I made
right.
over $3,000 a day in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my question is, where should I put my stop, do you think, to get out of PSQ?
I'm thinking that it's going to retest those lows, John, that we had last week. So
that's about 64, 68, I mean?
Looking at
64 something like that. I'm driving, so I'm not
okay,
sure.
PSQ. I'm looking at PSQ now. The lows it made a month or so ago was at 53. The lows of just last week is more like 56, okay? Somewhere in
there.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. I flipped it over. It's around 64, like you said, okay?
Right,
that's going to be the high.
Okay.
Okay, so because you're in the inverse. So that will be the high. I think it's going to test that area. Okay. When it tests it,
should I look at getting out around 64?
You want to see because it may fall faster, John. That's where it should find support. If it breaks through there, that means the market's going down further. You just ride
it. It'll take off.
Yeah, you just hold on to it. Okay. So you kind of want when it gets.
Then when I get nervous.
Go ahead.
Then when I get nervous, take half off.
You could take half off. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second question: AUY. I bought some time
ago. I'm sorry, John. I really got to go. I really got to go. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for the question. This is the best doc, everybody. I appreciate you being with me today. I'm going to talk to Rebecca. How you doing, Rebecca?
Doing good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
So I would like to get into this AT&T and Verizon stocks, and I wanted to find out at what price you guys would get in so that I can kind of follow similar strategy.
Both those are very good dividend paying stocks. AT&T is paying 5.8%, and that's probably why you're buying it. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Yes,
I think it may retest like the lows. It may retest the lows, and that's going to be in the low 30s. It's at 32 now. I'm thinking 31, 32. Wait to see. Let's see if the market goes down more. And it would be a good buy around $31. It really would, okay, for AT&T. For you want a Verizon too? And just so everybody knows, we own Verizon in our managed accounts. So it's something that we already own. That pays 4.9%. And for Verizon, I think, you know, it's right at 44.90. It could go all the way down to 38 because that's what it did on the lows. But and again, around 40, I think, would be a very good buy point for Verizon. Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate the call. That's Verizon, VZ, and AT&T is T. Those are really good stocks to own in a portfolio that you're looking for dividends. And you don't ever have to look at them again because they'll pay those dividends for as long as they're in business. And I don't think they're going out of business. You can see the latest dates for retirement reviews on InvestTalk.com. I'm meeting people on September 23rd at Dana Point. I'd love to see you there. 888-99-CHART, you're listening to InvestTalk. That's our number. Love to talk to you. What would you like to talk about? And if you don't give me a subject, call me up and ask a question. Oh, I'm going to talk about what I think is interesting. And I think is interesting is a hyper-aggressive portfolio with flaws. Now, this is the problem. This is an article. You can see the article on InvestTalk.com called A Portfolio Examination. And these are typical of what I look at. These portfolios. And what I'm looking at is that these different portfolios have, some of them are fine. This particular one this article is talking about has a pretty high grade of performance. Performance is pretty good. But a pretty bad grade when it comes to diversification. This is the problem. When you have a lot of money and you're approaching retirement, and you're saying, you know, I want to take less risk, but your portfolio is full of stock market exposure and you're not, your asset classes are concentrated in stocks, like this one, the sample they give you, it is like 90% or plus in stocks instead of any diversification away from the stock market. Well, now you're taking a lot of a risk that maybe you're not comfortable with. Maybe it's not something that you want to have. And so this is what I mean when you look at portfolios. You don't look at the holdings. You can, if you're in a, when I look at them, I say, okay, this is an all-stock portfolio. Now, in that universe where it's all stock, and just because it is all stock, that is high risk. In that universe, this is a good portfolio because it's well-diversified in that universe, but it's not well-diversified over the other sectors out there, other asset classes, I should say. You know, asset classes meaning cash, meaning real estate, meaning, you know, different types of exposures other than stock market exposure. Bonds, commodities, real estate, cash. Okay, so if you're looking at a particular portfolio and say, okay, this is a stock portfolio and this is what you want and you're comfortable with the risk, then we can analyze that portfolio with that in mind. But when you say, I want less risk, that means you have to move away from the risk of the stock market to some degree and you have to go to bonds, real estate, commodities, or cash. Those are the main classes of assets out there. Okay, so now you look at your whole, when I say looking at your whole portfolio, I mean, how many properties do you own? Do you just your house? Do you have it paid off? How close are you to retirement? What kind of risk do you really like? Those things are become extremely important. And therefore, you know, from that point of view, you could be getting a bad grade. Even though you're very happy because you're having good returns over the last 5 years because you're all in stock market and you think that that's going to continue forever, well, it's not. I'm tell you right now, going forward, you're going to have less return on the stock market for a number of years. It's just the facts. Why am I saying that? Because we had too much return in the past. You're going to revert to the mean. It's just as simple as that. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is related to municipal bonds. Where people like individuals like us can buy them, what denominations they are available, and what are different time frames for their maturity?
Well, municipal bonds have all kinds of different time frame maturities. You know, you can buy almost a whole variety, 1, 2, 5, 7, 10 years. I mean, they even longer. So you can get the maturity, the different time frames, and you should get different time frames. You should ladder the bonds. All bonds should be laddered at this point. And I'm not going out right now myself past 2000. I think I'm just now starting thinking going to 2021. Was 2020, but now I might go to 2021. We're getting toward the end of 2015. And I'm talking about four and a half years. Because I think in that time, interest rates will probably rise, and I should be able to get a little bit more money. So I want them to come due every so often. And then if I go out for 4 to 5 years, I can get more return. So those are when you can get. And you want to get diversified municipal bonds. Remember, they're double tax-free, so you won't get a lot of yield. You won't, because you don't have to pay taxes on the money. So that's how I would do it. I would ladder them over a period of time. BJ, thanks for the call. Let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Robbie? Are you there?
Hi, Ravi. Thanks for taking
Thank you.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
So, basically, I would like to know the prospects of stock Walmart. So if I want to invest on the stock at this current price.
Well, Walmart, of course, everybody knows who Walmart is, the world's largest retailer out there, 11,000 Walmart stores and Sam Clubs. They pay a 3.1% dividend. They have made $5.06 this year per share, $5.06. Next year, it's going to be $4.56, down 10%. And then the year after, 2017, is scheduled to go back up about 4%. You buy Walmart because it's underpriced, okay, and you like that dividend. You don't buy Walmart for growth because you're not going to get a lot of growth. It's going to grow in the low single digits, maybe, probably. So that's why you want to buy it when it's at a discount. And the question is it cheap enough? Is it cheap enough right now? And I would, you know, we own Walmart. We bought it not too long ago because we thought it was cheap enough. Okay, so I kind of like Walmart at this price because I like that dividend. They always increase the dividend. Okay, thanks for the call. I like companies that constantly increase their dividends that do not have a huge payout ratio. I mean, they're paying 3% on a $60 stock, so that's $1.80. Maybe $1.90. Okay. Well, they're making $4.74 a share. They have almost an $8 cash flow, so they can easily increase their dividends if they want to. And I like that. I don't like companies who reduce their dividends. It's time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson on everyday investing. Let's quiz you first. There are certain tax advantages to owning municipal bonds, but there are risks too. What's one way to minimize the downside? Well, the answer is to stay diversified, obviously, which we just talked about, and keep the cost down. Municipal ETFs offer investors instant diversification. They really do. So you can buy an ETF or a bond fund, municipal bond fund, which is professionally managed, and you have some instant diversification. Management fees and expenses can be very, very low if you buy, the right fund family. I would mention it, but I'm not supposed to. Owning individual bonds, though, may make sense, too, but that's a lot more work for you. Why I like individual bonds, you heard me say it before, is that when interest rates rise or fall, if you hold the individual bond's maturity, they'll always go back to par, so you get your money back. Whereas when you buy a bond fund or ETF, even a municipal bond fund or ETF, the net asset value, the value of that bond fund goes up and down with interest rates, and not... You don't get your money back because the bond went back to maturity because their bond fund never matures. They always reinvest. But if you own the bonds themselves, they mature and you know what you're going to get back. I like that aspect of it. So there's advantages and disadvantages. Okay, there's a big tax advantage for municipal ETFs in the state that you're living in. Big tax advantage. No, you don't have to pay, you're double tax-free. No state or federal taxes on the yields that you get. That's Invest Talk 101. If you want to talk about municipal bond ETFs or bonds themselves, give me a call, 888-99-CHART, or send me a note at contact Steve or contact Justin at investtalk.com.
InvestTalk is made possible each weekday by KPP Financial, serving clients all across the country. And Steve would like to introduce you to a new investing program. It's called Disciplined Equity, Focused Growth for Maximum Returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies listed on U.S. exchanges. Although the portfolio is concentrated, KPP Financial limits exposure to any one sector of the market. As with all our programs, one or more of KPP Financial's principals is invested right alongside their clients, which we call parallel investing. Click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com to find out more.
Hi, thank you for your informative show, which I listen to regularly. I wonder if you could please comment on MLPY, the limited partnership. It's been really hit over this past year, and I don't know why it's going down so much, because it's not an oil limited partnership exactly. And I'd also like a comment, if you can, on ReWalk, RWLK, out of Israel. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to your comments. Thank you.
Okay, I can only get to one. Please call on the others on another day if you don't mind. RWLK, because that was the last one you mentioned, ReWalk Robotics Limited. It's out of Israel. It's a very small company, $100 million company. It's growing sales very fast, but that's easy to do when it's under $1 million a quarter. I mean, that's pretty small. I mean, really small. They lose money every year, have lost money every year, and I do not, and it's selling for $8.01, and I do not buy stocks that don't make money. That's a rule I have, and a rule I like to put out there. Buy companies that make money. And this is a story stock. It's got a great story. Robotics. Everybody loves robotics. Israel developer of exoskeleton for the treatment of wheelchair-bound individuals with mobility impairments. Okay, great story, great uplifting kind of thing. IPO'd in September 2014 at $12 a share, and today it's $8. I wouldn't buy that stock. I would not. Not making money, doesn't have any hope of making money, and it's really, really tiny. Chances of it going out of business are pretty high. Okay? And that's true for every one of these kinds of stocks, everybody. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Dow drops 6.6% in August alone. In August, the Dow Jones Industrial 30 dropped 6.6% for the month. Okay, what did the European SOX index drop for the month? 8.5% in August. How about the Shanghai? We know that in June, the Shanghai, June, July, the markets just collapsed in China. But what about just August? Remember, Dow 6.6, the SOX 8.5. Well, the Shanghai was down 12.5% in August. So you can see that August has been a pretty bloody month for the markets everywhere. Well, maybe not everywhere, but all the major markets out there. It really has dropped. It would have been nice if I would have gotten the Japanese market, but I didn't have it. I'm not sure. Let me pull it up real quick if I can. Well, it fell sharply too, but I can't tell you exactly how much. That gives you a good idea of what's going on. And what is the cause of all this? Well, the cause, or the approximate cause, you can always say that our market was overvalued and it was time for a correction. And I've been saying that for some time. But the approximate cause probably was China. Bad economic numbers. When I say bad, they don't give out really good numbers in China, but you can get a good sense of what's going on. And they may have shrunk in the most recent quarter in their economy. Remember, I'm talking about shrinking versus growth of 7% that they've been anticipating. And 7% is the lowest growth in several in years, if they even got 7%. So I'm saying maybe for the month of July, maybe August, maybe even the coming up month, September, they might have been shrinking. So don't, that's we're seeing a lot of evidence that that's very possible. Let's go to Matthew in San Jose. How you doing, Matthew?
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Great. Likewise. And thank you for your show. I was calling to garner your opinion on ABX, Barrick Gold. I'm long today at about 670. I just, it's just, you know, that whole sector is really taking a beating, and I really like looking at their PE ratio going forward the next 12 months and, you know, just seeing what happened with FCX, Freeport Moran, mm-hmm. recently. It really looks like a good deal.
Yeah, we don't own this particular gold mining company. We do have a couple, three of our own. This is a Canadian company engaged in the production of gold and copper in Canada, Peru, Chile, and seven other countries. And it's a value play. It's really a value play. They're going to make 34 cents this year after making 68 cents last year. Next year, they're going to make 54 cents. And a couple years ago, they're making $2 and $3 and $4 a share. So this is way down. But the stock has collapsed. It's now at $6.75. So if they make 54 cents next year, which is a 60% increase from this year, that means the stock is going to be about 11 PE. So if you think gold is kind of near bottom, Matthew, and it's going to have a run, which I kind of do, then this is a stock. You want to own these kind of stocks. How cheap does it have to be? Does it have to be $3 a share? Well, it could go there, and that would be very painful for you. But I don't think so.
Right.
You know, I think the probabilities are where we've seen a bottom in gold. I think the probabilities that that bottom is in, and I think it's probably going to rise. We won't know for sure for a while, but so I think it's a good.
Right. And I'm aligned with that. I'm aligned with that thinking as well. You know, and likewise, I mean, their earnings will shoot way up. You know, if we even get a 10% jump in gold,
exactly.
Obviously, those earnings are going to jump next year. So that's aligned with my thinking.
Yep. So I think it's okay. Just don't bet the farm, but it should be part of your portfolio. Yes. Thank you for the call, Matthew. Appreciate it. If you have a question you want answered right now, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART. I'm registered investor advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Millennials stand to inherit $30 trillion from parents and grandparents. Is there a downside to that? Why you should sell your grandfather's stocks? That's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast. Bring your questions and join us then.
Construction spending, strongest sector in the economy. We had a report out today, but you know, the construction sector added 1.3% to the second quarter GDP revision. Remember, it was revised up strongly to 3.7%. Well, 1.3% of that was for construction. Spending was up 26% in the second quarter. Okay, up 7, the report out this morning, it was up 0.7% in July. But the prior 2 months were also upgraded. June went from 0.1% increase to a 0.7% increase, and May went from 1.8% increase to a 2.3% increase. So, you know, with a 0.7% increase in July, which was better than expected, that's about a little over $1 trillion spending. That's the highest level of spending on construction, $1.08 trillion since May of 2008. And construction spending is up 13.7% year over year. Those are all the numbers. Private sector non-residential spending was up 18%. Manufacturing spending, for spending on manufacturing, construction spending, up 73%. Now, you could say, well, then that means it's probably topping. I mean, that would be the bear market argument. It probably is topping. But we don't have any evidence of that yet. So all I'm pointing out is it's been one of the strongest sectors, and we need that sector And that has been kind of a lagging sector, but now, for several years after the economic recovery, there was no spending on this sector. Now we're starting to get it in gear. So we'll see how long that lasts. No one knows, but it certainly looks promising. Okay, and that I do think that could continue. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The market was down today, another big down day today, 470 points on the Dow. Are we testing the lows? No, but it looks like we might be headed in that direction to test the lows. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. On September, I just told you that August, how bad it was in August, the Dow falling 6.6%, right? And the European market more, and the Chinese market even more than that. But is August the worst month? The answer is no. The worst month of the year is September. If you look back on all the Septembers going back many, 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 many years, okay, all the way back to 1896, how's that? September has an average loss of 1.06%. And that's in contrast to the average gain of 0.75% for the other 11 months. Okay? So even August, now August is up over 1% on average going back all those years. The second worst month is actually, and you won't believe this, is February, with a tiny, tiny decrease, and in May. But September, by far, clear loser. So the question is, after a big down month in August, is September looking bleak too? You can't say that. You cannot say that. The question is no one knows why this is true. There's theories. First one, the three top theories. Investors are more likely to sell stocks as they return from summer vacation. Well, that's not true. It's been shown that they sell before they go on summer vacation, not after. The other theory is mutual funds after the summer going into the fall are selling because they want to sell their losers for window dressing and tax situation. Well, that wouldn't... There are three times as many mutual funds have fiscal years ending in December, so shouldn't they be selling off before December, not the third quarter? And the last one, investors are forced to sell large amounts of their stock holdings in order to pay for children's tuition and bills for private and secondary schools. Well, that was true. In recent years, that has been going down, not up, and while tuition has been going up, there's no real statistical reason for September to be a sellout. It just is. Doesn't have to be, though. Before we close for the day, be sure to sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program. It's free, and it gives you access to our library of wealth webinars and info sheets, as well as other resources. There's no cost, but you do need to register right there on InvestTalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening and being part of the program. Please join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.